Welcome to the Massillon School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting, a regular public Board of Education meeting for October 12th, 2021. Call to order, 48-hour notice. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Massillon and in the schools within the times prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissell?
Here.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mrs. Cuttile?
Here.
Mr. Patani?
Here.
Mr. Hovater?
Here.
Mr. Ambolia?
Here.
Mr. Rivera? Mrs. McGarry?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Julia McGarry?
Here.
Lily Burke? Joy Nolan? Graham Form?
Mission statement. Massillon School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during a regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend the acceptance of minutes, the acceptance and approval of the minutes for the combined committee of the whole, regular public meeting, and closed executive session of September 21st, 2021. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as a reason for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Hovater?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Cuttile?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Ambolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Gary?
So we don't have anyone who hasn't taken the oath yet. You've taken your oath, right? Okay. So we'll move on to our presentations.
Great. Don't we do the presentations of the... Okay, we're going to do our presentations first before the president. I'm sorry, president. We'll get to you, though, okay? Thank you.
Following my agenda.
I'm sorry.
Each meeting off by focusing on our staff and our students and highlighting those that have done such a great job for us and have stood out amongst such a wonderful group of people that are here at Massillon. We have an excellent staff, we have wonderful children, and those that we're going to recognize tonight have actually gone above and beyond, which means an awful lot. Before we introduce the teachers of the month, I would like to read this poem, which I always do, because I really think it brings home a nice message. It takes a special teacher, I'm sorry, person, to teach a child in class to just keep his attention in a world that moves so fast. To show a child he is unique, to pounds deep inside, to help to build his confidence so he can be with pride. To show a little patience for a child who's lost his way, to a child who feels abandoned, who has seen better days. To inspire and to motivate so a child can learn and grow, to go into the big wide world that has its highs and lows. You are a special person who always give your best. And for every child who has your class, your life is truly blessed. Showing a child they're unique, focusing on their talents, giving them the confidence to move forward means so much more than a curriculum. And with that, children then can revel in the curriculum that we provide. I want to thank those teachers for being recognized this evening and for doing this on a daily basis. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Teacher of the Month, Jill Santucci. Please come up, yes. Selected by Aaron Driscoll. It better have been somebody who finished a close second, Aaron. That's all I have to say. I'm just going to leave it there. Let's congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School. Jenny Rossman, selected by Cindy Garcia. Okay. Congratulations. Thank you very much for all you do with the arts. In fact, she does so much with the arts. We had knocked on the administrative door, and Jenny was standing there with a bucket full of rocks. For a mindful garden that she was creating. And she generously gave us one to paint and put in the garden. Mine came out so much better than Mr. Place. But that's my perception. Okay? I'm just falling off. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Daniel.
We would now like to focus on our students this evening. How do we select the students of the month? Those students serve as role models for their peers. They're academically motivated. They demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, the positive school attitude. They're involved in extracurricular activities, but even possibly more important, they perform school and community service activities, which illustrates how selfless they truly are. The Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate the Manasquan High School September Senior Student of the Month, Aaron Driscoll. Erin's on the soccer and track team. She is a member of the Student Council, Key Club, Squanathon, Live Pride, and Welcome Warriors. Outside of school, Erin enjoys playing soccer, CYO, and working at Max Devereaux's and Manasquan Rec. Her favorite class is her peers' class because they have so much fun together while making a positive impact on so many people's lives. Erin's favorite teacher is Mrs. Santucci, because she was always so positive and knows exactly how to put everyone in a good mood. She's always there for everyone and is such a good influence on the students and faculty around her. That's an awesome statement. Thank you for that. Aaron. The Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan High School September Junior Student of the Month, Jonathan Kane.
Have you won a state championship?
Yeah.
Have you won a state championship?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan is a member of the drama club at Schweitzer, choir, and is on the esports team. You were on a state championship team. I said that. You're on the esports team.
You were. A couple of the members play a game called Rocket League. I wasn't one of those guys, but I play another game called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for esports.
But they're both on the esports team. Both games. Okay.
So you're both the esports team.
Outside of school, Jonathan enjoys Boy Scouts. His favorite subject is English, and his favorite teacher is Mr. Moore. He's awesome. Jonathan selected Mr. Moore because on top of being a very funny person, he knows how to make every class a thoughtful and engaging experience. That line is profound. Thank you for that. Jonathan. The Manasquan Board of Education, I want to congratulate Manasquan High School September Sophomore Student of the Month, Chloe LaFour. Chloe. Chloe is a member of the Student Council, Mock Trial, Model UN, History Club, Key Club, Photography Club, and Gardening Club. She also plays in the field hockey team and runs track. You are amazing. Outside of school, Chloe volunteers for I Can Bike and I Can Swim and works at the B&T Grill in the summer. Her favorite subject is science, and her favorite teacher is Mr. Murin, because he is funny and makes class entertaining, so she is never bored. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School September Freshman Student of the Month, Alyssa Forrester. Alyssa is a member of the tennis team and the drama club. Outside of school, she enjoys bike riding, playing basketball and tennis, swimming, volunteering at the library, babysitting, taking pictures, drawing, listening to music, and hanging out with her family. Alyssa's favorite subjects are English and biology. Her favorite teachers are Mrs. Griffith, because she is a fun Spanish teacher and never fails to make her laugh and have the best time in class, Mrs. Galazio and Mrs. POTUS, because they never fail to make English class enjoyable. Alyssa. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School September Student of the Month, Cindy Garcia. Congratulations, Cindy. Cindy is a member of the National Junior Honor Society. Outside of school, Cindy stays in to do her homework. Awesome. During the week, but on weekends, she enjoys going to the park, reading, and playing her electric guitar. Wow. Should have bought it tonight. You could have played for us. Yeah. Her favorite subject is language arts, and her favorite teacher is Mrs. Rossman. Cindy. Gina, I have to say, that ends our presentation, please.
It does.
Thank you.
Just shake your best. Frank was on.
Frank was good.
Frank, she was shaking.
Now we have two presentations.
The yellow mask. So I'm going to address
that and learn and access test.
Yep. You want to go ahead and introduce those?
You want to go with the student reps first?
Yeah. Let her go. Why don't we move ahead?
She has homework to do.
I think she should stay.
Physics homework.
The whole meeting.
Julian, and do you have any report?
Yeah. Tomorrow, the senior class is having like a full day of just us being all together, and it consists of some college planning. We have a guest speaker coming in, and we get a big class photo, and there's an event called Squam Dog Mania, where Mr. Goodall and Mr. Reed will be making us hot dogs for lunch. So that's very exciting. We also have a guest speaker coming in January that Mr. Goodall chose to bring in. And the homecoming prep has begun for all classes. And the senior and junior girls get to participate in Power Pup, which is coming up next month.
I'd really appreciate it if next month when you report, let me know how that Squam Dog thing worked out.
Squam Dog Mania.
Squam Dog Mania. And how is the seniors getting together? I think it's a great idea to give seniors the opportunity to get together like this.
Yeah.
And I guess you're going to be measuring for your caps and gowns, and there's a lot of activities you're going to be involved in. I thought it was a great idea. So let me know how that worked out, because I like to do that every year since we're starting it this year.
Will do.
I knew you would. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you very much for
your
report.
Nice job.
It was great. Now we have dynamic learning maps presented by Suzanne Olympio, our interim director of special services. Suzanne? If you would like to go home and do your homework, you can. Or you can stay and watch the presentations and then leave. It's definitely your choice.
Hi, good evening. First, I wanted to introduce myself to all of you. I haven't met most of you. My name's Suzanne Olympio. I'm your interim director of special services. Very excited to be here. I've been here now for 3 weeks, so getting to learn the district and everybody here. It's a wonderful place, and I'm really excited to be a part of the school community. Dynamic learning maps is an alternate assessment for any student who is not able to take the traditional state assessments. So these are for our students who are significantly involved. And just as the title said, the exam is really like a map. And so it really takes students from where they are in terms of their essential skills and follows the core standards and takes them along a map to where they would expect them to be at the time of assessment. So when the student reaches their goal at the time of assessment, it says that they have met their target. Typically, in a district like Manasquan, we have 1 to 5 students who take this exam. Last year, we did have 1 student. So that student reached target in English, which means based on where they started and going along the essential elements and skills, they ended up where they would expect to be in English. In math, they actually exceeded the expectation and the results were considered advanced. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
What subjects are mapped out?
The English and mathematics, and then science when they're in high school.
Okay.
At the same time when they would do the other state assessments in science.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Suzanne will also be reporting on special education, and the directors sit at the tables. And I just want to, again, give Suzanne a warm welcome. She's hit the ground running here. We have our Tuesday meetings, and she's peeled back the onion, and she's identified some things that we're doing great and some things that we could really use some help on. And we're working through that. And we're very fortunate to have you, and I want to thank you for your hard work. It's going to really benefit the district.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the warm welcome.
You're welcome. Now, Mrs. Mineta will present access testing results, English language learners from grades 5 through 8.
Great.
As the ESL supervisor, another hat that you wear.
Put on my ELL supervisor hat. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for giving me a few minutes to talk to you about the progress that our students are making in our ESL program. Access for ELLs is the test that is given yearly to students in our ESL program. It's designed to measure student proficiency in 4 areas: reading, writing, listening, and speaking. We anticipate, obviously, growth from students from the time they enter our ESL program to the time that they exit. I'll talk to you a little bit about our students and where they are in the next. Oh, you can go back one more. Perfect. So here in Manasquan Elementary School, we have an ESL program, and also at Manasquan High School, it's a district-wide. It's called a high-intensity program, and I explained this to you a little bit last time we met. And the high-intensity program means that our students meet with an ESL teacher twice every day to receive explicit ESL instruction. And that is it's a great model, and it has a lot of benefits. And right now, our students are being told that they're twice a day coming out of other coursework, and they are working with an ESL teacher. When they work with the ESL teacher, they're working, again, on their listening skills, their speaking skills, they're working on reading and literacy skills, and they're also working on writing skills. So on the slide here, just some examples of the types of goals and objectives that they're working on in each one of those areas. Some of that looks different at the elementary level than it does at the high school level, obviously. So when we are preparing our students, we're preparing them for access testing, but we're also preparing them for their eventual exit out of the ESL program and into a more general education curricular environment. So in our younger students, what we're really working on is the foundational literacy skills that all students have. Many of our English language learners come to us in kindergarten, which is great because they're learning literacy skills for the first time anyway. So they're learning them in English as they go, and it helps their process along. In the high school, we have a little bit of a different ELL population where some of our students are coming in as a port of entry, so this is their first time in an English-speaking country, and some of them have been in the country for a few years, and some of them have been here for a very long time. So we are working on different things. When we're working at the elementary level, again, we're really looking at those foundational literacy skills, and then the teachers are also working on pre-teaching some of the skills that they're going to be working on in their grade-level content areas. And then they're also helping to build their confidence for those speaking and listening opportunities in their classrooms. So in the ESL classroom at the high school, they do a lot with academic vocabulary, helping the students to be able to better access what goes on in their classrooms. As you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, we're looking into a different model for ESL instruction that I think will be very helpful. But for now, what we're doing is just making sure that our kids are ready when they go out into their classrooms to be absorbing the content that their teachers are putting out. So again, the access exam, the access test, is based upon the WIDA standards. And the WIDA standards are social and instructional language, the language of language arts, the language of mathematics, language of science, language of social studies. It's very important that our students, if they're going to be successful in their classroom environments, that they're able to be fluent in all of these areas. So that is why we do it. So in 2021, this is just some data from our K to 8, and I'm gonna break it out K to 8 and then 9 to 12 so you can sort of see the difference. We had 26 total students in the ESL program last year, K to 8. If you take a look at the data, let me just explain to you sort of how it's broken down. So again, there's listening, speaking, reading, and writing. Those are the four main skills. And then there are also oral language, literacy, comprehension, and an overall score. So the way that they come up with the oral language score is it's about listening and speaking, 50% listening skills and 50% speaking skills. The way that they come up with the literacy skills, it's 50% reading and 50% writing. So they're looking at their strengths, relative strengths in those areas. Comprehension is 70% reading and 30% listening. And then the overall score is their composite for their performance in all of these areas. In order for a student to exit from the ESL program just based upon the access score, they would have to have a 4.5. That's the cut score. So if you look at along the top, there's level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The reason why the cut score is a 4.5 is because at level 5 bridging, that means that the child is able to use the academic language and the content from their grade level work. So 4.5 means the child is approaching that, means they're getting comfortable enough where they can sort of swim right in those everyday class environments, and they're getting very close to those grade level standards. So that's why you're looking for the numbers to be between level 4 and level 5, preferably level 5. That means they're really ready to run. So as you can see here, we did have some students make it into some of those areas. Our relative strength is our listening skills. Our students are really strong in that area. If you take a look at the chart where for level 4 and level 5 and level 6, you'll see that we have less students who are meeting that in the areas of speaking, And then also in the areas of reading and writing. So those are some of the areas where we're going to work on. However, one of the things that's important for me to remind you as you look at this data is that children are typically in an ESL program for 1 to 3 years. And again, many of these children are in kindergarten when they're coming to us in this K-8. So the numbers are skewed a bit because our kids are so young when they're taking it. So they're still building their foundational literacy skills anyway. So these are some areas where we can certainly be building some proficiency. We certainly want to emphasize those. But we do have quite a number of students who are in those early stages. K-1 and 2 is where the bulk of our ESL students are. So this is the numbers for 9th grade through 12th grade for our access test for last year. There were 16 total students in grades 9 through 12 who were ESL students. Once again, we're looking for numbers, you know, for exit purposes from ESL to be anywhere in that 5 or 6 category. We want students to be moving in that direction over the course of their time with us, 1 to 3 years in our ESL program. Again, keeping in mind that our high school students are coming to us from a wide variety of circumstances. Some of them don't speak any English. They're coming to the country for the first time. So it does take a period of time for them to adjust, and that's why it's important that we keep an eye on them through the access test process. We did have one student at the high school who was not here to complete all of the portions of the test. So even though there were 16 students in the overall score category, we only have 15 scores there. So again, relative strength here, reading is a relative strength in this zone of this group of students. Again, speaking is something it looks like we are going to need to continue to work on. We want to make sure that those skills are being rounded out. Okay, so again, in order to exit from the ESL program, a child would need to have a 4.5 or above on that access test. However, we also take a look holistically at the child because you don't want to exit a child too soon from ESL services if they still need it. So we look at the NJSLA scores if we have those available. There's a combination of report card grades and classroom performance that's taken into account. We look at benchmark and other assessment tools such as running records that we use in the elementary school, writing samples of a child to make sure that they're able to be successful in the classroom environment. The ESL teacher and the classroom teacher recommendations are really important because those eyes on the child are gonna tell us whether they can succeed out there. And then our ESL teacher always gives their expertise on whether this is typical language development. So just some interventions that we have planned moving forward based upon the data that we have. We're going to be providing professional development, again, 15 hours for our staff members who are going to be working with ELLs and some sheltered instruction techniques, and I think that's going to go a long way in improving student performance across the board. We have some professional development for our ESL teachers, and they're working with their primary students. They're using foundations and the phonics programs to help really solidify and cement those early literacy skills. It's very important. They're getting that twice. And then we're really working on building those homeschool connections with our families of our English language learners. We're collaborating. The ESL department, our ELL counselor, we're all working together to make sure that the families have everything that they need and feel supported to support their children academically. And then we have some professional development coming up for our ESL department, focusing on those writing and speaking skills in ESL instruction so we can try to bolster some of those areas of the access scores. Okay.
Questions at all?
Any questions? Yep.
Is it typical that speaking scores may lag comprehension, listening, and writing skills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so unfortunately, it's one of those pieces that when ELLs, when they're out in the classroom environment, if they're uncomfortable or if they're feeling uncomfortable, they tend to not speak as much. And so unless we're consistently fostering, and that's why I'm so passionate about this idea of sheltered instruction, because sheltered instruction builds in really intentionally opportunities for everyone in the classroom to speak on a regular basis. And so, you know, rather than having people who are sitting back in a more passive way, it helps them to engage. And so I think that it is natural, but it's not something that we want to, you know, to accept.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We had a 5-minute break scheduled, but I think we'll just move along.
Keep rolling.
Yeah. So there's, if anyone wants cookies, they're over there on the table.
Now we'll have our principals come to the table, please. And we'll hear from our lower elementary school principal, Mrs. Pelea.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. So, the next one. All right. So, this past week, we had the Week of Respect. It was really well participated. There was a great participation in it. We had a lot of great hats to start off the weekend. There were a bunch of different, you know, themed days, and the kids, there was a high participation rate this year, which was really excellent to see, showing unity and really acknowledging respect in that week. So both of our counselors, Ms. Harmony Schwer and Ms. Fatima Mulroy, went into each of the classes and did a joint lesson on I Am Action, and basically instilling kindness into the classroom and making it a learning opportunity for the students. The book basically says that kindness multiplies, right? One small act can really multiply and, you know, transcend through many people. So that was a lesson that they went into each of the classes, and it was well received. Then we ended the week with celebration. So the students were nominated by their teachers to earn the Respect Award, and there was a big celebration in the lunchtime where the students really cheered each other on. It was a really happy way to end last week, and the students received a certificate and some stickers and things of that nature. They were excited to be selected, and their classmates were really excited to cheer them on. So we had our first edition of the Warrior Way newsletter go out last week. And one of the really neat aspects of this, not only does this really shine a light on some of the great things that are happening within our classrooms, it allows us to be able to communicate some really important information. Another nice feature of the platform that we are using allows for an easy translation feature so that it is accessible to all of the members of our community. You know, there are a couple of great pictures in there of some things to celebrate in pre-K through 8. So today we started our PTO book fair. It was well attended. Again, the students are always excited to come into the book fair, and it's great to see their eyes light up among all of the books. There is quite a selection that was there. And again, the students were extremely excited. We have a parent night tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. so that parents can come on in and purchase some books. And then lastly, we have finished our iReady diagnostic testing. In our lower elementary, or we're very near completion, I should say. I believe in kindergarten, we're still finishing up. This data has been really useful in our PLC sessions among the grade level teams. They are utilizing that data to create small groups and really using that data to drive instruction, which is a really key point in utilizing the Ready Math platform. Our math supervisor has been going in and really laying out the resources for them and the best way to utilize all the resources that are included. There's quite a few within the system. And this data is also super helpful in terms of being one piece of data to one piece of data to really recognize some of the students who may need some more supports and coordinate those supports earlier rather than later. So that is something else that we are using this diagnostic for. Again, the students will be tested mid-year and then at the end of the year to kind of take a look at the growth, and I'm excited to report on that as we proceed to see how the PLCs and the instruction is rolling along. Any questions?
Any questions at all? Mrs. Minetta.
Hello again. So it's been an eventful month for us at MES. Our eighth grade committee is going strong, fundraising and planning for all of our fun end of the year activities for our eighth graders. We have a really dedicated group of parents who are coming up with some really creative fundraiser options. We had a great clothing drive, and we just had a table at the Intercoastal Tug of War, the Manasquan Fan Zone. We sold a lot of foam fingers and noisemakers, and our kids were painting faces, that's mine in the pink in the front, getting her face painted by one of our eighth graders, and it was a great experience. And it's nice to see our students working alongside of their parents and really taking pride in that eighth grade year. So that's been wonderful to see. We did start the Start Strong test administration today in school with the language arts exams. They took most students anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes in duration, and it happened in their English classes. Tomorrow we'll be doing math, and on Thursday we'll be doing science for grade 6. That was a smooth rollout. The kids are able to access it right on their computers, so that's been a good experience. We're looking forward to the data and what that will give us to help us inform our instruction moving forward. We have had our second session of professional development on ReadyMath for our 7th and 8th grade teachers, who are excited to be using, again, like Jackie mentioned, all of the tools that the program provides. The in-person professional development this year has been very welcomed by our teachers, who really respond to that in-person instruction. So we are in the process of developing a language arts committee to help us search for a new curriculum for our language arts. So we're working on building that committee with general education teachers, special education teachers, administration, supervisors. So we want to have a broad base for that. We talked with you last time a little bit about our process, what our process will be for choosing a new language arts program. But I know that keeping our values at the forefront of that, differentiation, making sure that there's a balanced approach, that's going to help us to really guide our thinking in that. We are continuing our Blue Ribbon progress. You know, we are really taking a close look this year at the students who require intervention. We're really revamping our INRS and our response to intervention processes to better identify those students. We're providing some really targeted interventions. We're really utilizing our basic skills staff to provide those interventions in the best way possible and streamlining things. So I think that's going to really help us make some progress in that area towards Blue Ribbon. And the fact that we, you know, we're in school all year last year, I think these Start Strong assessments are going to show that our students are in a good place. A couple things I want to mention. We've had this month some really great events to support our English language learners and their families. We had on October 4th, we had an ELL Tech Night where we had the parents of many of our ESL students come, and we showed them how to use the portal, how to get on, how to find their report cards, how to fill out the forms. We had technical support. We had Spanish speaking people here to help and support that. There was pizza and kids and families, and it was really well attended and a beautiful night, a great way to connect everybody with the technology that helps. And then just last night, we had an even better, more well attended celebration. It was a celebration of Hispanic heritage in our cafeteria. We had approximately 200 people there. There was food, there was dancing, there was music, and it was really a special, special night. I think all of us that were there can kind of attest to the fact that it was special. We all went home with sore feet from dancing and full bellies, and it was great, and it was nice to see our whole community come out together. And then just lastly, I mentioned to you briefly in my prior presentation about the sheltered instruction and professional development. We have found a professional development company that will be able to provide those 15 hours. We've identified the staff members that we would like to receive the initial round of training. They're excited about it, and we think that that's going to really be a great support for everyone.
Awesome. Questions? There was a lot presented there.
Where is the eighth grade class trip?
This is such an important question.
Yes, it is.
So you'll be getting that field trip form to hopefully approve at the next board meeting, but I did just finally get prices. So I'm taking a look at Philadelphia. We have a trip planned for right now that we would take a bus to Philadelphia. We would do a constitutional walking tour. We would have lunch at a very Philadelphia style food location. We would do sort of a high ropes and zip line course, and then they would do Dave and Buster's at night and have, you know, food and fun, and then we would head home after that. So they're excited. The kids are excited. Philly is exciting to them. The activities that we have planned are exciting to them, but of course all of that still needs to be approved. So that's the plan for now.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. Mr. Goodall, how's the high school doing?
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Awesome. Can't wait to have a hot dog.
I'm going to get to that. This week, obviously tomorrow and last week was our testing. I want to thank Mrs. Kenny, her counselors, and especially the teachers who facilitated the testing here in the fall, which we typically don't do. But they just did a great job in keeping the continuity of the school day going, but also ensuring that our kids are assessed And they just did a fantastic job implementing that. So I compliment them. And I don't want to steal her thunder because she's going to talk about that. Tomorrow we're testing PSAT 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. The administrative team will be working with the 12th graders to do a lot of the administrative things we need to do as the kids move towards graduation. We're having from 8 to 9 with all of the 12th graders a guest speaker, and he's going to speak about the dangers of teenage internet gambling, gambling when you're at colleges and universities, which seems to be a big problem, especially with the internet gambling. So we have that gentleman coming in to give about an hour lecture on that. We had planned to bring in someone promoting, because we have the college workshop, our continuing push to push our non-college bound students to trades, but unfortunately he fell ill, so we'll have him in at another time. The kids will also go through cap and gown measurements. They have ongoing senior portraits. You know, a lot of the kids have their appointments, so we're getting those done. Filling out their diploma card, and then if they want to, if they're of age, they can voter registrate, which we always do as part of our social studies program. From 10 to 11, Mrs. Kenny and her counselors are going to provide a college workshop for their kids just to check in on essay writing and application process, financial aid application, so big program there. And then as Julia mentioned in her report, that we're going to do a class photo on the football field, and it's supposed to be a nice day tomorrow, so we'll be able to do that. And the administrative team is cooking hot dogs. And I know I caused some confusion with what the mania was, and I said, I'm doing this as I'm going along, so, you know, you can't hold me to it, but we're going to do Squan Dog Mania for the first time. So I have 300 hot dogs waiting to feed all the seniors tomorrow. I had previously proposed, and the board approved all the budgetary monies for us to bring in Challenge Day. And as we were trying to connect with them, we realized that because continuing issues with COVID and how they were going to facilitate their program, we didn't feel that this was the year to bring in Challenge Day. We want to bring it in next year when they're doing their full program. And I want to give Dr. Cajun credit. He usually gives us something motivational as part of the administrative meetings prior to the school year. And a couple of years ago, he introduced us to the story of Clint Pulver. And we did some more research and found out, you know, he does come and speak to high school students. And Jesse, if you don't mind playing his video, you'll get a little promotion of Clint Pulver.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old and I was in school and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, hey, stop tapping. A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, Clint, you have to stop tapping. It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, Kevin, when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands. So I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, looked at me, and he yelled. And he said, Clint, stay after class. And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me that I will never forget. So I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, Clint, come here. I want to talk to you. And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, no, I need you to know something, you're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you. And he asked, he said, have you ever thought about playing the drums? And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. and he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a treasure." From that moment on, I've never put those sticks in. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drum sticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time, when somebody believed in me, and he saw something in me that I didn't see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
So Mr. Pulver, when he comes, he's going to, especially as our children deal with the post-COVID world, focus on themselves and how they can create a plan, as well as getting along with each other, but really focusing on yourself and how to develop a plan to be successful in life. And you're the determination of how you are successful. So when we get to do a program, I kind of do a little gauging of the students. So they came down to my office and they watched some of the other videos that he does, especially geared towards their age, and they all agreed they want to see him. So for the first time, he's going to come to New Jersey on January 7th. We're ironing out the final details, so he'll be performing for the whole school for the first time. So we're really excited about what he can bring to motivate our kids, and I think after what they've been through, this will be the perfect program for them to enjoy. On September 25th, we had a great Manasquan High School Alumni Day. Mrs. Kenny and her Welcome Warriors toured about 50 alumni through the high school, and then we enjoyed some outdoor festivities. It was a beautiful day for football. It was just a great day. And we welcome the alumni back. And then next week will be our first play. It's a dinner theater, the Manasquan High School Drama, on the 22nd and 23rd. I'm getting married, no, not married, murdered in the morning. So we're looking forward. Story of my life. We're looking forward to the production. I see the kids working hard, so we're real excited for them, for their first drama production of the year. And I believe that's it.
I just don't want to skip over the Clint Pulver video. Every time I see that, it brings a tear in my eye. And the reason I showed it to my administrative team is because the essence of that message, I wanted to ring home to them. And I'm proud to say it has. Their focus on children goes way beyond the curriculum. And the first step is how to help those children, our children, through whatever dilemmas that they have in a very positive way, according to the confines that we have to work on. And I can say that for each and every one of my administrative team. So I don't want this message to go unfelt by a Board of Education. Be proud of who they are, because they're the best for our students on a daily basis. I want to thank you for that. I believe that's it for a report from the principals. And now we have our directors. Mm-hmm. Good?
Thank you. Thank you.
New format this evening, as we started to go long, and I would have to look at them in the cheap seats and felt it was center of attention was much more appropriate for them. So now I'd like to start with our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Mr. Capola.
Thank you, Dr. Peterson. I just wanted to give some updates as to where we are in the school year with professional development. Yesterday, we finished up our training with our staff. With Joe Bratzel and his group with the youth mental health first aid training. And our entire staff on both sides of the street was trained over three sessions And the main focus of that was, again, to kind of hone our skills about identifying and serving our students in the way of wellness and social and emotional learning. And we were fortunate enough to have some really world-class trainers that trained our staff virtually. We got a lot of good feedback from them. We're going to circle back and talk to our staff about that. Again, we just finished yesterday, and talk to Reverend Bratzel about what our next steps are. But I think that the training, I know that the training, based on some of the feedback we got, was very well received by our teachers. As I've said since I've been here, investing about Manasquan is the connection that our teachers have with our kids at all levels. And I think that, I know that this professional development that we invested in with time and money is going to strengthen that connection as we go forward. So we look forward to reporting back out on that. We also, tomorrow in the high school, on the half day where we have PSAT testing, and Mr. Goodall has all the activities for the seniors, we have a half day of in-service for professional learning communities in the high school. And our professional learning communities are different kinds of meetings that we have. It's not a standard faculty meeting that a principal of the building would run. It's not a department meeting with a lot of housekeeping items where you talk about dates and submission dates and everything. It's a time for collaboration. And the collaboration, sometimes it happens within departments where they review programs and curriculum and test-taking strategy and data. But sometimes it's a matter of mixing people in different disciplines and coming together and talking about specific subjects that pertain to students and learning. So tomorrow, what we have scheduled, we have a number of different PLCs scheduled for our staff. And one of the groups that we got together, and this ties back into the action plan that Mr. Goodall and Ms. Kenny and I put together for our teachers for advanced placement. Our advanced placement teachers are going to come together tomorrow to discuss test-taking strategies, discuss resources on the College Board AP classroom, and really take the time to talk about common students and what they're seeing in their AP classrooms. As we've talked about, a lot of our students take, they challenge themselves, they take multiple advanced placement courses. Coming off a difficult year last year, those students that are high flyers, there's some commonality sometimes between, you know, their performance in one class to another. So to give these teachers time to talk about student performance, to talk about building that culture of success that that we talked about, you know, moving forward, is really some important time. So that's going to be time well spent tomorrow with our AP teachers. We have our math teachers looking at programs such as the OpenStax program that comes out of Rice University. That's a program for math that deals with access for learning and open resources. There's a lot of limitations right now with copyrights and digital rights restrictions. So the math department under Mr. Muren looked to adopt this program that kind of gives students more access to a number of different resources. We have our science department. They're going to be talking about exploring something called Pivot Labs, which is another resource that gets into a virtual lab experience for our students. And our English and social studies teachers will also start talking about some curriculum revision and also some strategies in the way of research-based skills and speaking and some other initiatives. So we have a lot going on tomorrow. And talking with Mr. Goodall and Dr. Cajun, I mean, we need to spend more time, as much time as we can, in developing those PLC times for our high school teachers so we can make that a regular occurrence. We do it on our in-service days. Sometimes we do it in lieu of department meetings, but the product that we get out of teachers during this PLC time is really amazing. So that's a good thing. To kind of follow up again with the PSYOP or the Shelter Instruction Training is, as Ms. Mineta said, what we're looking at is 3 days of training that will culminate on March 11th. I believe the dates are December 10th, January 28th, and March 11th, where we're going to be training our staff on both sides of the street in Shelter Instruction 5 hours per day. We have teachers designated in all grade levels and all disciplines at the high school. And what that will do is, again, that'll allow us to, for our teachers to have strategies to make the classroom more inclusive for all learners, not just our ELL learners. So strategies like, again, inclusion and small group instruction is really going to be that training is going to make our It's going to make our classrooms more vibrant in K-12. So we're very excited about that training as well. And one of the other things I wanted to say was I really want to give our teachers a lot of credit coming off last year, because as it speaks to professional development, I've had a number of teachers come to me this year on both sides of the street that said, you know, I have an idea. There's something that I'd like to explore. There's a workshop I'd like to go to. You know, there's a virtual training that I'd like to be a part of. And again, coming off a very exhausting year for them, it's such a credit to our teachers that they embrace, you know, being lifelong learners. I had one teacher come to me, our dance teacher, Ms. Galano, who was very excited about taking a visit to a school to explore their facilities and their dance program. So that program will be, that collaboration will help us move our program, our Academy of Fine and Performing Arts forward. So there's a lot of energy here that obviously our kids are the benefit of. And the other thing that I just wanted to mention was, and I mentioned this I think last month, the end of this week will be the first in-person MC3 meeting for the county that we've had in about 2 years. And the MC3 is a group of administrators and curriculum writers and teachers who come together and talk about, they talk about curriculum, they talk about programs. It's kind of a PLC for people that develop academic programs and bring those ideas back to their district. And one of the things that Dr. Cajun has approved for us, we have the option, every district has the option to send one person or to send a team of people. What we've done is we've developed a team, a small team of teachers and administrators who go and, again, collaborate with other people in the county and people at the State Department of Education so we can be ahead of as many trends as we can be and bring back ideas to all of you and to our building administrators and our teachers. So that's something that's very important as well. So we're excited for that meeting. And in the coming months, we'll be looking to reconvene the Equity Committee. I reached out to a couple of people in last year's Instructional Council. That will be another initiative that we'll be reporting out on. And just following up with the Start Strong testing, which I know Mrs. Kenny will talk about, once we get those scores back, which we're anticipating will be a very quick turnaround, we will be reporting out on those scores to you in December or January, depending on when those scores come out. So, thank you.
Thank you. PLC stands for Professional Learning Communities, and it had to be about 5 years ago. There's an international test that juniors take, and they then score countries in regard to their academic success. And the Scandinavian countries outdistanced the United States, they outdistanced Japan, they outdistanced Hong Kong, and the schools that usually were in front. So a study was done to try to find out exactly why this occurred. And there was a lot of reasons for that, from the family structure, for the community. But one of the things that stood out to me was the fact that they inherently spent more time allowing their teachers to speak collaboratively than they did instructing in the classroom. And they found that the methodologies and the pedagogies that were being utilized were really cutting edge, and teachers were learning from each other. So one of the things that we have talked about, you've heard the acronym PLC several times tonight. I wanted to let you know what it is. And it's the mere fact that you develop a community of staff where they can either speak to each other departmentally or interdepartmentally, or actually across the streets, focusing on what's best for the students. And it's something that we've engaged here over the last 2 years, and as Rick's saying, I think is showing success. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Now, our Director of School Counseling Services. Did I change that title every time I look at it? School Personnel, School Counseling Services.
It changes.
Whatever it is, Mr. Kenny, you do a wonderful job, and I want to thank you for that.
Hi, everyone. So I just wanted to kind of go over a couple things. Some of the things are things that you've heard a little bit about tonight. Start Strong testing in the high school. We did complete it last week. When we take a look at the numbers of students that we tested 9th, 10th, 12th grade, 11th graders in math, and in the areas of math, science, and language arts. Combined, I think we gave over 1,500 Start Strong assessments.
We were really fortunate because the schedule that we came up with allowed the students to take these tests over a four-day rotation, thus not interrupting the actual rotational days and the makeup of the other classes. So over 2 days, the students took English, and the other 2 days they took science and math. And it really worked out to our benefit. The students did not notice essentially any type of lapse in their school courses and their curriculums. So that was successful. We are going to be doing a makeup day for Start Strong by the end of next week. As soon as the elementary school wraps up, we'll be doing 2 days of the makeup training, and then we'll be done with the Start Strong for the fall. Tomorrow also we have our PSAT testing. As in previous years, we are doing the official test for grades 10 and 11, and we are giving a practice test to grade 9. Usually the scores for these tests come out at the end of November, early December, so the data that we do get back, we will be aggregating for our freshmen and developing plans for them as they move forward, and we will be taking a look at the 10th and 11th grade score sheets that we get from College Board, and that's a good indicator of how the students will start to do on their SATs. As Mr. Coppola mentioned, we finished up yesterday the youth mental health first aid training. This was an 8 hours of training for our staff members. They did 2 hours pre-learning, and then they had 3 hour sessions twice. And the goal of this was to really develop, teachers and their ability to kind of foresee crisis and really intervene when students are struggling with social emotional learning and social emotional health. The goal now is to take those who were trained and begin to implement that program for our teen first aid mental health and kind of bring that into the classrooms. We're hoping to do that with our sophomore class, put that into the health class. We're waiting to hear back on a grant that we will hopefully receive. We are also in the process of moving forward with our extra help for our ESL population. As we were able to secure a K-12 ESL counselor this year, we've been able to open a lot more opportunities. We're going to be starting an after-school program for our ESL community, our students in the high school, two days after school of homework. Generally speaking, some of our students were struggling to go home and do their homework, so we're going to open up our labs specific to the ESL populations on those days to make sure that they have the ability to stay after school on two consistent days a week to make sure that these students are able to get support to do their homework when they before they leave and after school. Tomorrow night, we are also doing our financial aid night and our college planning night. So as so many people have mentioned about our big day for seniors tomorrow, it does involve our college planning process. There are a significant amount of students who have already applied to colleges, and there are students who have already received acceptances to colleges, and then there is a population of students who are starting the process now. So we are starting our college planning process with those students who are looking to apply early decision, regular decision, and we are going to do a workshop with them tomorrow during the school day, and then follow it up with the evening presentation for our financial aid. So we have our financial aid presenter coming in tomorrow night to follow up on what we've spoken about with the seniors during the day for our workshops. In addition, on October 25th, we have our college fair. Our annual college fair is back, and we're excited because it's going to obviously not be a virtual event this year. We have a lot of representatives coming in. Yesterday, when I mentioned, we had 65 schools coming in. Today, it's up to 80. So we're hoping to hit probably 100 schools. And have them, come in. And the college fair is really the best opportunity for any seniors to really connect, and juniors too, to connect with any college representatives from schools that they're interested in. We do our college visits every day after school. Some are virtual, some are in person. So the students are actively signing up on SCORE to see the college representatives that come in and meet with them. So if they don't have a chance to see them at a college fair, there's a calendar of class visits that we have for the college reps almost daily, and they start coming in usually in September, and then they go all the way through November. On the flip side, the eighth grade recruiting has begun. Our transition counselor is at Avon tonight doing the presentation for the eighth grade information session. We currently have Avon, Spring Lake Heights, and Manasquan scheduled for our info sessions. We're waiting to hear back from Belmar and from Brielle. to get a night on the calendar so that we can go out there and do our sessions for our info sessions for them. November 18th will be our annual open house for all of the freshmen coming in. A couple years ago, we turned it into one night, and it really was beneficial because it became a bigger event. Working with our new club, the Welcome Warriors, we have some ideas about how we want to expand our open house to make it even bigger and better for those coming in. And then just to follow up with those events that we have for our incoming freshmen, the Freshmen for a Day program will be starting up again. We obviously took last year off and having students come in the building, and I think it was really missed. I think the personal connection that the students make when they come in the building is really so beneficial and really makes such a difference. So we have already 12 dates on the calendar. We're going to start the signups for that, and we will be welcoming students into the buildings very soon. So it's been a busy month.
And thank you for tomorrow. I think it's really important for us to take that step with our ninth graders and having them have that practice PSAT test, and then having your guidance counselors actually set aside the time to call them down and then review the results with them. I think it's going to be very beneficial for us as they prepare for that PSAT test again, and also the SAT. So I think that in 2 years we're going to see some dividends for this. And I want to thank the board for allowing us to be engaged in this, because I think it's going to be really beneficial for our children. So thank you for that. Suzanne, I think you're up.
All right. So the district developed a program this year, the Center for Independent Learning and Living, and it's made up of 5 students who are in an 18 to 21 program, and then there are 2 students who are in grades 9 to 12. So this is a really exciting program for the district. It enabled us to bring students back from out of district and be on the Manasquan High School campus. So they're able to participate in phys ed and other activities on the campus. So the transition coordinator, Jen Dyer, has done an outstanding job of establishing relationships with the community and with possible job sites for our students to work in. So the students have already begun that process, and they're already working in the community, developing those skills that they can use when they transition out of the program and can get jobs. One particular exciting partnership is with the Blue Claws organization. So they have really embraced the students, and they're going to be there approximately 3 to 4 times in the off season, and then more often when this season actually starts. So they were able to conduct mock interviews with the students and really get an understanding of what the particular student interests are. So this was a really fun process for the students to start thinking about themselves and what they want to do in terms of work when they finish with us. So the different areas included ticket sales, promotions, operations, fan experience. And once the season starts, they're actually going to be recognized in a pregame ceremony. They're going to be focusing on fan experience and giving feedback to the Blue Claws organization about what they think they can do to improve attendance and revenue. So the students are really excited about the program. Something else that we're going to be working on developing this year is a special education advisory committee with our parents. So this is a great way for us to communicate with our parents and have them come in and give us some feedback on some parent trainings and workshops they might be interested in. And also, any type of communication they feel would get more information out to our special ed parents so that they feel like they're part of our school community. Another area that we are looking to focus on is really our relationship with our sending districts. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be inviting them here for a meet and greet, and also to observe some of our programs, to have a conversation about a shared special education vision. So it's really important, as the students all come together, that we do have a shared vision about our special education programs and our students. I'll also be going out to visit all of their programs and get an understanding of what their programs look like, to see how we can best assimilate all of the students. I'm going to also offer, just as we were talking about the transition meetings, going out and speaking to the parents of the students, special education students, coming from our sending schools, because Manasquan High School really has some outstanding special education programs, and I think it's important for the parents of those schools to really know what we have to offer in terms of special education.
That's awesome. Very good.
Okay.
Good?
That's good, yeah.
Any questions at all? Yes.
I have a question for Mrs. Kenny. Mm-hmm. What date are you going to Manasquan?
We have right now November 11th at 6 p.m.
And is that when they'll find out about the freshman for a day?
So we are going to be posting the freshman for a day flyer and then the sign-ups, and we're hoping to open the sign-ups on Monday, October 25th, once we get those set up for the official dates. The first freshman for a day is November 19th and then runs all the way through April, so that's when we'll open up the link for that. So we'll post all that information prior, because all the dates that we're going to different sending districts are a little different. So, but we have Manasquan for November 11th.
And something will go out about the open house?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
There's been a lot about other schools and open houses, but nothing about Manasquan.
Yes. So Manasquan open house is going to be November 8th, Manasquan High School, the big open house is November 18th on the calendar.
Good, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That ends our presentations for this evening. Okay.
So we'll bring us to our first public forum on agenda items only. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears a public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, they represent. Tonight we did, if anyone wants to speak, we did put a sheet up that you can write that information down and make sure we have it for the record. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure that all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during the period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations and terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to the comments on items including this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? So no one, we'll move to our second public forum. Would anyone like to be heard on any items on this agenda or not on the agenda? All right, seeing no one, we will move on to our discussion items, and I'll turn it back over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. We're now in the committee of a whole, and focusing on education, curriculum, and technology. As we start our discussion tonight, I want to focus on a great partner that we've had for the 8 years, 7 years, and starting in the middle of almost to Christmas, my eighth year here, with the Endowment Foundation. Just recently, we had a meeting where we were talking about a gala that they're having on December 4th, where Chris Pinnell is gonna be here, and they're raising money for the auditorium, and it's like $40 a ticket, I believe, for the show, and then it's $120 for a dinner and a show, and I just think it's awesome. And in that discussion, we started talking about, Don Bramley brought it up, we need to move the piano from the classroom, Maddie's classroom, to the stage. We have a baby grand piano. I think it's a baby grand, or is it a regular grand?
No, it's baby.
Baby grand. And when you move it, and we move it like 4 times a year, and it's old.
It is.
We have to tune it, which is $300 every time we tune it. Chris was sitting there, And he said, you know, he has an electric baby grand piano home. And with that, Rob Schatzman's ears went up. And I was sitting there and I was watching. Well, long story short, again, they've stepped up to the plate. And I just want to thank them because tomorrow, thanks to our endowment foundation, a baby grand electric piano is being delivered to Manasquan High School. And Hope, I was going to give you a call about that. And I really am breaking Robert's rules doing this, but I know you heard what I just said. And I was hoping that we could sort of get together and talk about it. I just think it's amazing how the community steps up for us. And it's just unbelievable. So I wanted to let the board know about that. And now we can keep the older baby grand piano, which is not electric, in the classroom for Madeline. And she plays it and she sings beautifully with the children. And now we have that and we remain on the stage for when Chris Spinella comes, when we have our different concerts, when we have, what was it, somebody murdered somebody's wife? What was the name of the play?
Woke up and something about the murder.
Somebody was murdered.
I'm getting murdered.
But it's another step forward. And it's great. And also, as you look at the agenda, and you can see that we got some donations. And I just want to focus on Mr. Ehrlich's donation. He actually stepped up, and he's a very creative person. He's retired. He lives right next to the field. He's heard the band, and he's donating money to the band. So again, this concept of community actively getting engaged in what we do here for the children, even when they don't have children in the schools, is there. So I just wanted to bring these things to your attention. Also, agenda item 32, we now have a Science National Honor Society. We have a Foreign Language National Honor Society. We have a Math National Honor Society. We have a History National Honor Society. We have the National Honor Society. And again, it focuses on the excellence of execution that's happening in the classroom with the children. And again, getting transcripts ready to go to Tier 1 schools by listing the things that they're actively engaged in. So I don't often focus on agenda items, but I thought they just stood out to me. And when you look around the field, you see the banners that we have, which are donations from all the community members that we have, not only Manasquan community, but going to Seagirt, Spring Lake, Brielle, Belmar. Again, each at a total of $1,000. So the community outreach to us, I think, is very generous. I just wanted to highlight, as we talked about education, curriculum, technology, those things this evening. Regarding policies and regulations, in the Friday packet, you're going to be receiving a policy that we haven't focused on since 2011. And I sort of stumbled across it, and it's the dress code policy. And on that, you'll see it talks about turtlenecks and jackets and, you know, more back Ridgemont High, if you could think about that 1960s film and how teachers dressed then. So I'm going to ask you to read it, and then we'll talk about it at the next committee of a whole in the following month and see if you want to tweak some of the things, at least bring it up to date. We'll talk about it then. So you will receive it first. And as you can see, we have some first readings tonight. We have some federal grants that we have, and as well as the amendments to some policies that we have listed here. Any questions on the policies at all? I know you've been well versed on these, so. Regarding finance, we have a budget action plan for 2022-2023.
Yeah.
I'll turn it over to the person who needs no introduction, Dr. Crawley.
Yeah, just wanted to draw your attention to this item on the agenda because it is kind of the formal kickoff of the budget season for next school year. It seems early, but it does come quick. So this is the approval of the budget plan of action. It's an attachment on the agenda. You can take a look at what that looks like, and it's going to roll out ostensibly starting tonight and going through your formal budget approval in April. We have a complex budget, as you guys know. It involves multiple towns, multiple different districts. So part of the budget plan of action is an agreed upon set of dates. We're sending districts will report to me formally what their enrollment projections are. It's actually a two-phase process. They report once in December and then finalize those enrollment projections in February. and that goes along, you know, that's a big part of our revenue, so it's an important piece of collaboration with them to make sure those numbers are accurate. So we have been in contact with them already about those dates. Everyone's in agreement with those dates. The rest of the dates are either statutorily dictated and or our internal decisions on when things will come due to my office and then be formally presented to you guys. So celebratory time of year, the budget season is underway. The bullet isn't here, however, I do want to just give a little update on the field house construction. You've seen a lot of work taking place back there. It is site work, so it's underground stuff. Nothing's coming out of the ground yet, as you know, but it's a lot of important work. In the next 2 weeks, they're going to be trenching for the primary conduit. That's what they were working on today with some of those excavators they have out there, digging a pretty significant trench from about where the stabilized entrance is over here all the way over to Atlantic Ave. That'll take the primary conduit and power off the street. We are coordinating with JCP&L to do a service relocation of that power. It's going to require a one-day shutdown of the building. We have coordinated with them to do that over teachers' convention, so it'll be minimally impactful to the program. And you know, there is some stuff left to coordinate with sports, but a portion of the building, namely the other end of the building, the science side, will have to be shut down for about a day. So JCP&L has been very, they've worked with us pretty well to make sure that can be done without impacting the students or the school then. They'll fill in that trench in the coming week, and then they are going to start digging into the ground to do the footings, put the rebar in. They're not going to pour the footings for another 2 weeks, but you'll start seeing footing forms going in and rebar coming out of the ground in the next week as well. So things are moving along out there. Looks, you know, it's not that exciting because you can't see it above ground, but it's like, you know, a lot of work is getting done. And then finally, just one other thing I wanted to touch on is agenda item number 27, which is the approval of the comprehensive maintenance plan and form M1. This is an annual report we have to submit to the county and ultimately ties back into the budget where we set a floor for what is, I guess you'd say, a responsible amount of funds that would be allocated to maintain our building. It's based on a square footage of the building, the age of the building, and you know, what is, they set a minimum for what we would need to maintain the building appropriately. We actually usually budget well in excess of that because we know our needs are. It's an older building and we know what our needs are. So we usually meet those needs, or meet that budget floor, but the comprehensive maintenance plan is something you may just want to review. It kind of lays out what our comprehensive maintenance plan is, what we're going to go through and fix throughout the year, what we have our eyes on, what's maintained, and what is a high priority for maintenance throughout the school year next. So that's on number 27. That'll be voted on by all board members. Is there any questions about the budget plan of action, the comprehensive maintenance plan, and the fieldhouse construction, or anything else?
When do you need to have a committee put together for the budget? Not till next year?
I mean, I can take names sooner or later. We're not going to probably meet closer to late February, early March.
Okay.
Like, the final piece to fall into place is the sending district's final tuition numbers, because that's kind of the one of the backbones of the budget next to the tax levy. So we get that mid to late February, and then we'll put together, you know, that'll be the
okay.
We'll be ready to meet. So I mean, if you want to give me names,
I think I'd prefer to wait till we see who
do the reorg.
Yeah
we can wait till the reorg. That's fine.
We see who's here from sending districts. What
yeah.
Sending districts are here, so.
Sure. Yeah, that'll leave us plenty of time. Basically, from now till reorg, or now till the Christmas break, is going to be getting preliminary numbers from the sending districts, but also departments, buildings, putting together their local budgets and submitting them to me.
Okay.
So there's not going to be much to do at the board level until, you know, a month or two after that takes place. Okay. All right.
Good. One of the things that we have done, Mr. Place and Dr. Crowley and myself, we sat down knowing that it was budget season and talked about the possibility of doing demographic study. And then we decided that if we could put together, actually if Pete could put together, a 10-year look ahead by getting all the students from the sending districts and looking at exactly what our population in the elementary school, what our sending district is going to be giving us, and exactly where we will be as a high school, it will give us a better vision of how we want to programmatically move the building, where we want to be with staff, and exactly, even though it doesn't talk about cohorts and doesn't talk about live birth rates, does talk about the children who are here, and it'll set a path for us, I believe. So in the Friday packet, you'll be receiving that as well this week. So I'm going to ask you please take a good look at it, and in next month's Committee of a Whole, we'll talk about that, because there's some needs that we have now in the school for staff. How do we want to meet those needs? I think it's a discussion we should have. I think that'd be financially fiscal responsible on our part, and I think you have to take a look at the numbers in order for us to have that. So that will be coming, and I want to thank you guys for talking to me about it, and thank you, Pete, for putting it together. That ends the Committee of a Whole, if we don't have any other questions. And I can move right to the superintendent's report. Yep. Speaking of enrollment, our total enrollment now is 1,501. In the high school, we have 984. Elementary school, 517. Regarding our fire drills, high school, September 14th, we had a fire drill. September 17th, we had a lockdown drill. We now also have them in the ABA building, since they're on campus. On the 14th and the 21st was the fire drill and lockdown drill. And then the elementary school, we had a fire drill on September 3rd and evacuation drill on September 20th. We had the high school bus evacuations, according to code, for all the routes that are listed, and the elementary school bus evacuation, which was actually a first, and it is in code, so kudos to the two people who sat in front of us tonight, because they noticed that, and they had their bus evacuations at the elementary school. Regarding HIBs, our HIB report in the high school, one incident was not considered harassment, intimidation, bullying, and there were no reports for this month. Now I take great pleasure in turning over to my assistant superintendent, Mr. Place.
Thank you. So I'll just provide a brief update to the board this evening regarding the implementation of Executive Order 253 and the vaccine or testing requirements for covered workers in the district. So if you recall, I talked about this last month. In August, Governor Murphy implemented Executive Order 253, which requires all covered workers, which essentially sweeps in anybody, you know, working for the district, units and volunteers, contractors, to either be fully vaccinated by October 18th or to be subject to weekly testing for COVID at that time. So the first group of employees that we talked about with that is our contracted staff. These are the full-time and part-time employees that are essentially here every day. So we have 254 of those staff members. 90% of them are fully vaccinated as of today. We have 23 that are choosing not to be vaccinated and instead to go the weekly testing route. And we have 3 that are in a partially vaccinated status right now. Again, this requirement goes into effect next week, beginning on Monday. So anyone who's not fully vaccinated by Monday needs to go through the testing process weekly. The other group of covered workers that we have that's a little bit more difficult to figure out are our casual employees, right? So these are predominantly substitutes. It also includes people like home instructors, coaches, right, who are not otherwise contracted employees in the district. And we have 112 of those people in those situations. So they all got a letter about 2 weeks ago from me talking about the executive order, telling us what they need to do to comply, either submitting their vaccination records or informing us that they would be doing the testing round. We've heard back from about half of them at this point, and beginning today, we're following up with phone calls to the ones we haven't heard from. So these numbers are not, you know, solidified like they are for our contracted staff, but about 43% of the entire group, including what we haven't heard back from, are fully vaccinated. We have about 59 or so that have not responded yet. Or so far they're choosing not to be vaccinated, but we don't have testing. The district did enroll in the state program that was originally instituted to do random COVID testing of students. You know, parents could opt into that if they wanted to, but they expanded that program to allow for staff to be tested under it. So some of the staff that might not be vaccinated could take advantage of that because it's free with that program. Dr. Crawley and I participated in a webinar on Friday. The contract was awarded to a vendor called Rover Labs from Monmouth County. Dr. Crawley attended a follow-up webinar today. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Crawley, this time they don't believe that testing will be up and running for the deadline of next week. It probably should be happening in the next several weeks.
Hopefully. Yeah, they kind of hedged off having it up by next week.
So that's where we are with implementing all of that process. Like I said, there's a lot of moving pieces to this, especially with casual employees, simply because they're not here every day, right? They don't have a direct supervisor, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to get in touch with those people. And we do have policy 1648.13 on the agenda tonight, partially to be discussed in executive session regarding some of the legal implications. We'll talk more about it. That's all I have done.
Thank you. Questions? That concludes the superintendent's report for this evening.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report?
Yes.
So, Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Partalia?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Mongolian?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock? Except out. Mr. Salino?
Yes.
Gary?
That brings us to the Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything separated out, items 15 through 21?
16.
Okay. Any questions on items 15 through 21? Do we have a motion for items 15 and 17 through 21?
Yes.
Mr. Burns? Mr. Serena?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion for item 16? Ms. McGarry? Mr. Burns?
I can't. No, that's a...
You can't? Oh, yep.
I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Pissone, Mr. Burns.
You know, I have to ask a question first before I do it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question about the doctor that's chosen to do the assessment. I'm not opposed to the assessment, but... Is that an independent doctor that the student chooses? Is that someone that we recommend? I'm just trying to figure out.
That's our doctor represents us.
Okay.
We then pay for it. The student can choose and get to go to his own doctor, but they would incur the cost.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes. Thanks.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Gary?
Brings us to the Manasquan City District's general items. Does anyone need anything separated out, items 22 through 41? Any questions on items 22 through 41? I just want to make one comment here. If you look at number 29, that if anyone has any athletes or any extracurricular kids that do extracurricular activities in the school, you know, we haven't had any buses. So we did sign, we're approving to sign a lease tonight to actually lease a bus for the rest of the year. So we can, you know, as much as we can get kids to their athletic activities and all. And we will be talking in an executive session about hiring a bus driver as well.
Okay, so the bus driver is separate from the lease?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we need about five of them, but we'll take one.
So, all right, do we have a motion for items 22 through 41? Mr. Balderman? Ms. McGarry?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Cassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Pattaya?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
I just have one question. What's the completion date on the field at the elementary school?
October 22nd. Is the substantial completion date. It's quote-unquote completion date. That's when the construction will be mobilized. It's fresh sod, so no one's going to be on it for until spring.
Until the spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any new business? I'll bring us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or of one of nine subject matters listed in the Section 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date, Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion from the following subject matters will be made public airtime when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items: litigation and contract matters and personnel matters. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes in public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Yes.
Ms. Pollack, Mr. Serino, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Session.
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Ms. Burns. Roll call.
Ms. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Cartaya?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lafreda? Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Brings us to the Manasquan personnel, items 45. Do we have a motion for items 45? Mr. Hovater? Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Brings us to the Manasquan Sending District's items 46 and 47. Do we have a motion? Mr. Burns? Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Cataya?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Harry?
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Absolutely.
Ms. Pollack, Mr. Serino, all in favor?
Aye. Thank you, everyone.